All right, everybody, welcome to week six of the Rebirth podcast. Our bye week was last week, so we did not release an episode. I'm joined here with Dan Wood, and we'll be talking about the week six power rankings.
Pretty chalk week this week, it seems like. A lot of the top teams in the league got a W. A lot of the bottom teams in the league lost. So I didn't move a lot of people around in my rankings, but I look forward to seeing what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I am agreeing with you. I think there'll be a couple changes, but like just looking at the top two, Wes Carrollton, who seems surprised by their number one ranking, but I mean you're looking at their team. Adam Thielen's finally showing up, getting touchdowns. Travis Kelce is getting. When did he get those like four touchdowns in one game? Wasn't that him like last week or the week before?
And even, I mean, that was, last week. And even in a what's considered a down week for him, he still breaks 100 yards. But really with this team, it's kind of the rich getting richer. The Cardinals seem to finally click on offense. So if Kyler Murray is going to put up those kind of numbers going forward, Tyreek Hill has his quarterback back to his playing this weekend. So, it was a team that was on top four, putting up big numbers, and some of their weaker parts are now coming together as well. So, I have to imagine that you would agree that this is the undisputed number one in the power rankings this week, again.
Yeah, I mean, their weak spots, Devin Singletary, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I mean, Josh Jacobs was on bye, Jamal Williams was on bye, which Jamal Williams still put up points. But even that being their weak spot, they're still getting 13 points with Devin Singletary. So, yeah, I think it's undisputed number one. Going to Lucky Ducks, seeing if they should keep their number two. Because admittedly, I did not do much preparation. So I'm looking at a lot of these for the first, well, I watch them during Sunday, but pretty much for the first time.
I mean, I had Lucky Ducks holding at number two. I mean, primarily just because Josh Allen is, I mean, it's just unreal this season. 35, 33, 29, 24, 40, and 30. And that's disgusting numbers. So
He's pretty good.
I know the talking heads have been making a lot of comments about how the top quarterbacks in the league are really separating themselves this year. And I think we're seeing that pay dividends, especially for teams like Lucky Ducks that are just riding him every week. Having a free 30 points to start can never hurt.
And I will say that I think we called Lucky Ducks like I feel like they did this last year where they have the slow start and then they pick it up at the end. The Bengals offense finally clicking. Joe Mixon getting 15 points. Jamar Chase finally being Jamar Chase getting two touchdowns and 132 yards. I feel like they do have too many eggs in the Bengals basket with four of their nine starters being on the Bengals, but I mean, it worked out for them. They still put up 120 points with Melvin Gordon getting benched in the first half.
Yeah, that's obviously not what you want to see. And there's not a lot of running backs to turn to on the bench if that's going to continue to be the trend there in Denver. But if the wide receivers and quarterbacks can keep carrying the team, then I don't see a huge issue. Breece Hall had a great game. So if he's finally figuring out the NFL in his rookie year, Melvin Gordon doesn't even need to be in the starting lineup if he doesn't have to be. So D Hop, coming back from suspension, had a pretty good first week showing, first week back for him. So I see this team still being strong as we move into the second half of the season. And at least for me, I mean, the biggest question is, do we think that they've earned the second spot over a 5-1 Vinegar Strokes team?
Well, let's take a look. See, I feel like so far, yes, because Vinegar Strokes, I think, they're just getting lucky with the matchups. I mean, looking at their team, I mean, they do have Lamar Jackson. He didn't put up the numbers that he usually does. Kenneth Walker's gonna be big for him, but Jacoby Myers is nobody. Mike Williams is gonna be ups and downs. Evan Ingram still in the league.
Now, to be fair,
He
I
does
mean,
have Derek Harris, yeah.
He still pulled down a win with some big players on the bench. You know, Derrick Henry on bye, Damian Pierce on a bye, who's really shown out here going into the second half of the season. So, you know, I mean, but it has to be said, they have the lowest points against in the league. There's only, looks like, two teams with points against below 600. And it's, them and Austin Bauer. So they've had great matchups, obviously, against teams not putting up points, which has contributed to their 5-1 slot. So I do think that their schedule, their win-loss isn't necessarily reflective of their team strength.
And they still have an embarrassment of riches in running back after that 2-1 trade to A.J. Brown, but they're still repping four starting running backs.
Yeah, seeing Kenneth Walker do that has to be a huge boost of confidence to this team manager, because, you know, we weren't really sure what the backfield was going to look like once Rashad Penny went down, and Kenneth Walker looks like he just has grabbed on hold of it with both hands. So, 21 totes, getting in the end zone, just a really good start for Kenneth Walker in his first game as the lead back there.
Yeah, I'm down to spice it up. Let's switch them. Vinegar Strokes can get number two. Lucky Ducks bumped down to three.
Spicy takes. I like it.
Add some prove it in the league. See if Lucky Ducks comes back strong, which if they started D-Hop, then that'll be helpful.
I mean, I think, like I said, they're both pretty strong teams. Vinegar Strokes could really sort of, you know, prove you right with a win over maybe Hyphen this week, another top half of the league 4-2 team. So if they get a win this week, then they could really, being at 6-1 at some point has to speak for itself. There's famous coaches to say you're only as good as your win-loss record. So while it isn't everything in a power rankings, at some point it's got to mean something.
Well, I'm just looking ahead. If maybe Hyphen doesn't change his team, he's got three players on biased starting lineup. So I'm feeling pretty good about Torrey's chance coming away.
He's got a solid 24 hours. But the big matchup coming down the pipe has got to be Wes Carrollton Vinegar Strokes in week 8. If Vinegar Strokes gets the win next week, he sits in the number two spot. That sets up a really spicy number one, number two matchup in the power rankings for week 8.
But we'll talk about that in a week or two. Moving on to 4-5, I think that I can safely say that I overtook Billy Vegas this week. He had a rough showing. Now, admittedly, he did have one starter on bye and one starter injured for the week with Keenan Allen, Davante Adams. His team will be coming back with Dak Prescott coming back. Maybe he won't be holding on to three quarterbacks.
But even if Prescott does come back, I mean, it's not like the Cowboys offense was lighting the world on fire, in that first half of the game. I don't think that they are the offense they were the last couple of years. Losing Amari Cooper, offensive line looks totally different. So I don't see that as a silver bullet to bring them back to success necessarily.
Yeah, I think it'll be helpful and it'll keep them in the top half of the league, but that's kind of just more to why I think they should drop at least one. And as we're going through, we can see if they drop more than one. But
no, I'll say it for you. I think you've probably earned your way into the four slot there. Cooper Kupp had, like for Travis Kelce, it's kind of a down week for Cooper Kupp. And even in a down week, he still puts up, double digit points. Jalen Hurts, even against a pretty good Dallas defense, still had a good game. It was an encouraging game for Dalvin Cook, we'll say. He hasn't looked that good in a while. So there's definitely, room for positivity on your roster. Gabe Davis has been really well.
Watch the Vikings game, which I wasn't able to, but Dalvin Cook, I think, had like 10 carries for like 20 yards and then broke off a 50-yard run. So.
Oh, his numbers are inflated?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
At the end of the day,
he had 16, a 50-yard rush.
16 points for running back is, you know, there are wide receivers out there that rely on that one 40-yard bomb a game, and you know, the good ones get it. So if he can, you know, if he can end up with that points at the end of the day, I'd be happy if I were you.
Yeah, I think, well, this week I don't think we'll be too telling to my team. It's 5 matures on by, but looking ahead, I am excited. Michael Pittman getting 16 targets this week, so that's always a good sign to see. Gabe Davis, I'm still worried about with 3 receptions for 74 yards. He's just a big play type of guy, and if he doesn't get that touchdown, then he's
done for. But again,
if
he's the big play guy on a big play offense,
seems like
you know the odds are in his favor that it's bound to happen. You know, he's found the end zone 4 times, and he's, you know, missed 1 full game due to injury. So, you know, if he's gonna be that guy for an offense that doesn't look like it's slowing down anytime soon, you know, how concerned can you really be? It seems inevitability.
Yeah, I think my concern is I'm just not going to start in the right times. Like when I benched him when he caught that 90 whatever yard touchdown. I could probably be sitting at 6-0 if I was just a better coach.
Ain't that the truth? At least you tell yourself that.
All right. So we'll bump me up to 4. And then we can talk about maybe hyphen to see where Billy Vegas kind of ends up.
And Austin Bauer's got to be in the conversation. He, you know, 116 is a good number. He's 4-2 on the season, top half of the league in standings. You know, I think he has an argument to be in the 5 spot as well. So here is where the rankings do get a little muddled. So we can kind of sort through this. You know, Austin Bauer's team is a little bit up in the air with the Christian McCaffrey trade. So who really knows what's going to go down now, what he's going to look like, what his numbers are going to be on a brand new team. So that definitely is something to watch as we move forward.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at Austin Bauer's team. So Christian McCaffrey, that's up in the air. The Colts backup running back, so he's going to be out for once Taylor gets back. Juju is a hit or miss type player. Patrick Mahomes is just running around.
Yeah, I don't see that being the
same thing with MVS. And then, I mean, you look at his bench, Cam Akers is not going to see another snap for the Rams, so he needs to get traded because I haven't really been following along what's going there, but
no one knows.
They're not happy with Cam Akers, which is to the benefit of your team with Daryl Henderson.
Except even with that game with Cam Akers out, Henderson did not. I mean, they were still, you know, a committee of running backs, and when Henderson was getting the rock, he wasn't passing the eye test for sure. So I you know, he's still gonna ride the bench until he shows me something, but it's better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah, I think looking at Austin's team, they have a lot of players that just are inconsistent. With MVS, Juju, Chase Claypool, Allen Robinson. This is a team that could get 150 points and they could get 80 points. So,
and the same not be said for a maybe hyphen team that has, you know, inconsistency in Aaron Rodgers, Antonio Gibson's inconsistent, you know, Miles Sanders been up and down this year. You know, again, this team is riding Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I'd be okay putting, I think we should put the Billy Vegas at 5, Austin at 6. Well, where are you going to fit in? I guess you'll drop a little bit after another.
I mean, I'm sitting at 2-4. I mean, I'm not, speaking for myself, my team is getting some weapons back. You know, the Lions offense hopefully is healthy again. Coming off a bye, which is normally pretty good for offenses. So there's reason for optimism, but until I can win a game, I mean, I've been in a 4-game slide ever since the 2-0 start. So, I mean, if we're talking, you know, power rankings, which we are, that's not super powerful.
Yeah. I think looking at your team, I think you'll climb your way back up soon. But as we talked about the last recording, you're in the free fall and you're hitting bottom with this Lions bye week. And now I think he'll start climbing back up after this with them coming back. Chris Olave looking great. Tua coming back. So you don't have to rely on Danny Dimes. Hopefully Tua is okay. So then, yeah, I think it should go Billy Vegas 5, maybe hyphen 7, Austin 6, and you 8. Unless we can think of any reason to bump any of the bottom four out of the bottom.
Well, like I said, yeah, if you're looking for people to you know, move out of the bottom half of the league, it starts to get pretty thin because most of them haven't been doing a lot of winning and didn't do a lot of winning in week 6. So, you know, even if you're looking for somebody to vault into the top half, it's just not really there.
Yeah. The bottom four teams all were under 90 points, so they can stay there.
And all right around that same just kind of, you know, 80. It's a, you know, you didn't have a horrendous bad luck week, but you don't really have a lot of scoring potential on your team. It's just kind of that, like, you know, as they say in The Wire, it's a 40-degree day. Ain't nobody remember a 40-degree day, and that's what those teams did. It's a forgettable week for most of them.
Yeah, and I feel like with Don's team, with McCaffrey joining the 49ers, Debo probably is going to lose some value with his rushing, because why would they have him rushing out when they have Christian McCaffrey?
I mean,
but on the other hand, Aaron Jones is going to get the ball more, in theory. But they've been saying that all year.
Every time he touches the ball 8 times and they say that's unacceptable, and then next week, dude touches the ball 8 times. So I keep waiting for, you know, the Packers offense to figure it out, because they normally do. I don't know if that's going to happen this year. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is not getting any younger. He's not looked good. Like I said, you know, they've had slow starts and concerns, and they always end up, you know, making the playoffs. I just don't know if that's going to be the case this year.
Yeah, but, so
I mean, Kamara is trending up. I do think Kamara is trending up, so I there is some room for optimism there. You know, Cortland Sutton had a bad game, but it was really his first, you know, true stinker of the season. You know, his floor before that was 8 points. So, you know,
I think we should at least bump Don up above Utah. Looking at Utah's team, he's got Herbert Eckler, but then A.J. Dillon, who, if the Packers do what they say they're going to do, isn't going to get the ball much. Waddle's good, but Hollywood Brown is out.
He's on the IR.
What he is. And then you look at the bench, Trevor Lawrence is maybe coming back. Mike Carter is a non-factor now with Breece Hall.
Jarvis
DJ
Sanders
Moore
out.
Is on a team that is just tanking and selling off everybody. So he could get traded to another team, and that could help. But then you have Devin Duvernay and Rashad Bateman, which the Ravens aren't doing much.
Yeah, depth is a problem for this squad for sure. I mean, they're going to have to, you know, really rely on that Chargers offense with 3 starters from it. And I mean, I think everybody had pretty high expectations going in. They've been inconsistent. So I just, you know, as depth gets more important, as bye weeks keep hitting, it's a concern for sure. So I would
Austin Eckler had 16 targets and he got 16 points.
Yeah.
He's not going to get 16 targets again.
I wouldn't think so. But again, he's Austin Eckler. So, but yeah, that being said,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, when I look up and down the roster, I think overall roster strength for Roy Jones Jr. is probably puts him ahead.
Yeah, and then Steeler Nation, with their new acquisitions, who'd they get from Torrey? Oh, Tyler Allgeier and Jeff Wilson, maybe?
But, I mean, Jeff Wilson is pretty much...
Well, that didn't play out well for them
anymore. Yeah, DOA at this point. you know, Pickens is on a pretty anemic offense. again, same with Najee Harris. The Steelers just don't look good this year. Tonyan, anemic offense. I mean, there's like, you know, find me pieces of good offenses on this squad. I'll wait.
Man, I'm just looking that Torrey just robbed Sillman. And it's not Sillman's fault because of this trade, but like, you're looking at that trade now with A.J. Brown, Darren Waller for Tyler Allgeier and Jeff Wilson. And then I went to our number one team in the league. I guess that's why, like, number one and number 12 teams, I don't want to say shouldn't be trading with each other, but, like, maybe shouldn't be trading with each other.
Hey, listen, you know, they're both adults. They both agreed to it. Nobody forced them in anything, so. And on paper, it looked okay. You know, things played out like they did, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, they both thought they were making their team better, and I think we all want more trades, so.
That's fair. And yeah, looking at it, I think I'm just jealous because I wanted AJ Brown.
Well, the Eagles suck.
I feel like I could have given Jake a better deal, especially now. But again, that's looking with hindsight. So yeah, Jake's team is not looking good. People are talking about benching Jerry Jeudy. Russ isn't going to figure it out. ETN though, that's a bright side on his team and a downside to my team.
Well, I mean, a bright side, you know, on an offense, do we have a lot of confidence in the Jags offense? And they've had good weeks. They've had bad weeks. I don't know.
I don't. I feel like, I don't know what happened, but it seems like as ETN's getting the ball more, they're losing more. But maybe that's just me as a James Robinson stockholder.
I mean, the fact is that, you know, Jake has the lowest points for in the league, sitting there at 550 on the season. So, you know, he's only averaging about 90 points a game, and that's looks like it's not going to cut it.
Yeah, so I think the only thing that, well, actually, I might give Sam another bump up, let those night crawlers keep crawling. I mean, I know they're 1-5, but They're going to get another win this week. Joe Burrow has figured himself out. Jonathan Taylor might be figuring himself out.
He's got to do it quick.
Taysom Hill is relevant again.
Yeah, I mean, as long as Jameis is not playing for the Saints, I think Taysom Hill has a lot of value. I mean, they're clearly, you know, putting packages in specifically for him all the time. You know, they paid him a lot of money to be whatever he is for them. So as long as they
the
keep
the Mormons
strategy,
disarmy knife is what
there you
it
go. So I mean, are you saying you're putting Nightcrawlers above Utah?
Yeah, I would bump up Bart Harley Jarvis, and yeah, I guess I'd leave him. Yeah, Bart can go to 9. Roy Jones Jr. can go to 10, Utah 11, Steeler Nation 12 is how I would do it. Because I think Bart Harley Jarvis is going to keep climbing. I think he's going to come out with a win this week against me. And yeah, I think his team is looking a lot better from the garbage they looked for the first 5 weeks.
Well, that's all 12 there. So I agree with most of that. I think we will have a lot of, you know, some of the questions answered, you know, coming up this weekend to really see if some of the predictions for teams on the rise, you know, come true. I'm really hoping to get off the schneid and break my 4-game losing streak this week. Looking forward into week 7, what do you see as maybe the matchup of the week?
Yeah, and that's what I was just looking at now. If you're looking at pure records, there's a lot of 4-2 teams going at each other. West Carrollton versus Austin Bauer, and then Vinner Strokes versus maybe Hyphen, which maybe Hyphen has some of his best players on bye, so if he actually takes a look at his team and switches some things around, that could be an interesting matchup. But if he starts 3 players on bye, then that's not going to be that interesting. So Yeah, looking this week, there's not a lot of good matchups. I feel like Wes Carrollton versus Austin Power or you versus Lucky Ducks is going to be the big matchup. If you can bring Lucky Ducks, slow Lucky Ducks steamroll and climb out of your free fall a little bit.
I mean, I think that's
going to be...
You know, we're only week seven, but I think, you know, we're getting into must win territory for a lot of the, you know, 2-4, 1-5 teams. You know, I don't, no matter how good you are, you know, going into, you know, week eight at 1-6, you're looking at winning out, which is just going to be super hard to do, especially since clearly you don't have the strongest team to begin with. You know, historically, I think that the teams that are sliding into the last playoff slots in our league are usually sitting to right about 7-6, you know, just a little bit above 500. So I think especially for teams at 1-5, and really teams at 2-4, it's time to win or start looking towards next season. Cause even rolling into week eight at, you know, 2-5, you're still looking at winning, you know, six of your last seven kind of thing, something like that, or five of your last six, which you haven't been doing. You've shown you can't do it. So it's time for a lot of these teams in the bottom half to start making moves or just, you know, think about playing spoiler.
Yeah, I agree. I think seven, I feel like eight wins is the nice safe. You'll make the playoffs. And we'll see what's going on after that, because it's what, six teams make the playoffs right now in this league?
I believe that's correct.
So yeah, I mean, and you see six teams at 4-2 or above. So they're starting to make separation, and if they keep making that separation, then yeah, these 1-5 teams are.
The 1-5s, they've got to win. The 2-4s are pretty close, because you know, like you said, if you're trying to keep pace with those top six, you know, sitting at 4-2 and better. You've got to start winning, and you've got to start beating those teams. You know, if I can take down Lucky Ducks, you know, that's one less, you know, 4-2 team with a W. There's just, you know, hopefully you lose to the Nightcrawlers would help me out a little bit. So it's time for the bad teams to get some surprise wins against good teams, or the playoffs are going to crystallize pretty early.
And then just, I feel like one stat that I just kind of stumbled upon with the Nightcrawlers are, sure, they only have 590 points forced, which is definitely bottom three of the league, but they're the only team that has over 700 points scored against them at 734.
That's true.
No, I mean, and that's over 700.
Yeah, there's a reason that you find yourself at 1-5, and it's because, you know, you're not scoring a ton and you're getting scored on a lot, and he's kind of towards the extremes of both of them. As is, you know, Steeler Nation, like we talked about, the points scored on the season is the lowest in the league. But I believe they're also in the top three or four for points against. So, you know, you, Nightcrawlers, Steeler Nation, me, Don, I guess is like kind of the top five as far as, you know, getting scored on a lot. So you're really the only one to buck the trend of having a losing record while also getting scored on pretty highly.
Yeah, I guess that is true. I'm third most points against. But yeah, second points forced, because yeah, you've dropped. Yeah, you're third points forced. All right, well, I think we're just rambling now, unless you have any other final takeaways for the week six power rankings.
No, I think we covered it. Like I said, this week was kind of a lot of chalk, where the good teams got a win, the bad teams took a loss. I hope that gets a little spicier going into week seven, and we have a little more movement in the rankings. You know, a little more you know, argument next week to see who goes where. So I'm looking forward to shaking things up moving into week eight.
Sweet. Well. Yeah, that all sounds good. I'm excited. Hopefully I can pull off this win against the Nightcrawlers. And yeah, I'm rooting for you against the Lucky Ducks. I need them to get a loss under their belt, especially if I'm going to lose to the Beef Train. But with that, for Dan Wood, I'm Steve Gang, and thanks for joining us for week six of the Power Rankings with the Rebirth Podcast.
See you next week.